走り出せ走り出せ空高く旗を刺し
Hi, and welcome to your Thursday, August 8th JumpCast. I'm your host, Mike Lemieux. You might be listening to this on Friday, August 9th, because without Imran, we're all lost. Joining me today is Greg Jan and Robin Van Gilder.
Hello.
Yo.
Oh, God. This has been already going off the rails before even recording. We're doing this so late. It's, one of us like has been to the hospital.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. That's my fault.
Oh, you don't. Fucking hospital, like priorities. That
yeah,
grew
that's
up on a podcast.
Probably.
Yeah, it was an imaging center. It wasn't a hospital.
Close
enough.
It was something they'd show on House, so it counts.
Yes.
Hugh Laurie would have been making snappy comments at you in his flawless American accent.
For all that I know, the imaging people were, because you know I had the earplugs in, so.
It'd be great. They're just like shit talking to people in there, can't hear.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you gotta spend something to over the 20 minutes, you know. Keep
yeah,
yourself
they have to
occupied
be there the whole time.
They just have their Game Boy.
Mm-hmm.
There's computers back there.
Playing Defender.
Nah, listen, they're all watching the Salty Bet.
Oh man, Salty Bet. Oh, we can't talk about that.
Oh, why not?
God,
there's plenty of manga
the
characters.
The DBZ characters are the worst.
I know
the Sakura
is
characters
that
are the best.
All I know is that I saw you guys mention the word Salty Bet in chat. I went, what is that? Googled it, hit the first link, and it was blocked at work because of a gambling site. So
you don't use real money, but you do gamble heavily.
Yeah, it's basically gambling.
You're going all in on a giant confectionery duck that's got laser eyes that kills everything.
Yeah. Or Violent Dan.
Or Sad Claps.
Man, that match was... Oh. Anyway, yeah, we shouldn't talk about this. It'll just be the whole podcast.
But the DBZ characters just, like, power up and just get punched in the face over and over again while they're powering up.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's actually pretty accurate to Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, none of them have any AI, so they just sort of sit there and they know that charging is a move.
Yeah,
so
charging is the meter, and that's, like, the most immediate reaction they can discern, so they just keep doing that over and over again.
Yeah.
Although so Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, and sometimes it's great because they'll be fighting another character with a charge move, and both the AIs will just stop on opposite sides of the screen and charge for like 10 seconds straight.
I love the Batman Beyond one earlier where he like punched a guy and then floated in the air for the rest of the match,
yeah.
So he could punch him back.
Yeah. That was great.
So
anyway,
so Beelzebub also fights, right?
Yeah.
So charging and punching, right?
Yeah, charging and punching.
I should say this up front so I look smart. The theme of this week's Shonen Jump was daddy issues. Every issue involves something about a dad. Right?
Yeah, totally.
Sure.
So, the easiest one is Beelzebub.
Yes.
Obviously.
Is there any chapter of Beelzebub that in some way doesn't involve dad?
Well, there was the Furuichi stuff.
Yeah.
He was still fighting against Oga, who was using Beelze's powers, though.
Yeah. True.
Not for, like, the first two chapters of that arc.
I do know those, like, Call of Duty chapters, Beelzebub did not appear in them at all. I did research last week to see if that was the first chapter that Beelzebub wasn't in.
That was pretty great.
Anyway, Tojo's not dead.
Yeah, no, nope. he's standing there and...
Like a man.
He's fine.
He's just a little pissed off.
I do love that, like... He's just so bloody, and his eyes are just dead. He's so awesome. He should be the main character.
I think we've discussed that many times before.
I know.
I have to say, I like the title of this chapter.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
The da-da-da dash?
Yes.
Da-da-da dash.
So, continuing.
Up on the roof, it's established that Beelze is still around. It's just that Oga can't see him, and everybody else still can see him.
Yeah, we kind of theorized that last week, that maybe Oga could just not... He was not aware of Beelzebub anymore.
Yeah.
Because Himekawa's phrasing was very vague.
Yeah, and so it's not just a not aware, though. Like, it severed the entire shock him if he gets without outside of a certain range link and all that sort of stuff, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Beelzebub figures this out.
Yeah. Starts kicking Takamiya, which doesn't do much.
Mm-hmm. Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, that would be...
That would have been fun.
That would have been the best ending of this arc.
Man, he just shocks Takamiya, and Oga's just watching him get shocked out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So, Beelzebub runs off to do something.
Yes, and runs throughout the school and comes to Kunieda.
Was in real bad...
Very badly beaten.
Yeah.
Yes. Blood everywhere on the ground.
And then, when she sees Beelz, she's rejuvenated. Ready to fight again.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow.
That's manga.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm just saying, You know, it's not explained how she's rejuvenated, and then we see a crest without a number on her hand.
Yeah, so she has...
So at this point, I was wondering whether, like, she herself suddenly had a contract with it because the contract was voided, and so Beelz went to her, and that's what happened?
Yeah,
or...
that's basically what I was thinking, is Beelz found a new contract.
Yeah, but I think what it is that it's because Beelz is the source of the power, and he was also the leader the whole time, because he won the rock, paper, scissors match.
Yeah, he's the
king. He's the king.
So I'm guessing, like, he has ostensibly made contracts with all these people, and only the one with Oga was severed. So if he can get within range of these people, they can still...
Yeah, they become the primary person.
Oga's just kind of a relay at this point for his power.
Yes, he's a conduit.
Yeah. So Kunieda handedly wins against these two.
Yep, and gets both of their pieces of Furuichi's soul.
Yay.
Yay.
I'm sad we didn't get any more, like, Furuichi face jokes out of those two. It's still only just that one guy.
Yeah.
Well, hasn't he been the only one that's happened with?
I think it happened with the first guy, the lost one, too. The two
people. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Fought Tojo, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Beelz runs off like the wind. Just bails on Kunik.
Yeah, I do like the idea, though, because before it was all of them were pulling on his power at the same time, so it got split between them. And hypothetically, if only one of them are drawing from him at a time, then...
It's like super power.
Way stronger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that would make sense why Kunieda just one-shots both these guys after she was even having trouble with the King's Crest.
Yeah.
So then Tojo comments that, you know, he can feel its power flowing through him, although, you know, he's not using it at the moment.
And
He just beats him up because he's awesome, because he's Tojo.
And we do get a Furuichi soul moment pointing out that he's not even using it. So then Kanzaki and Beelzebub meet up.
Mm-hmm.
Very kind of awkwardly, just come across each other.
Yes, and then Paco calls for Kanzaki, and he shows up.
Comes smashing through the window.
With Beelzebub.
With Beelz hanging out in his hood.
Which is really awesome looking.
That's perfect.
Everyone's got their own style for carrying Beelzebub.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's got his, you know, crossed arms behind his back, and
Man,
and then Kanzaki picks up one of the mooks and basically just beats up all the others with him.
Just like a bat, just smacks him with him. So then he runs off to look for the real Himekawa because he doesn't like these shitty fakes.
Mm-hmm. To the pool. Because he's looking for whatever the machine is that's causing this... Apparently, there's like a bigger machine, I guess.
Yeah,
I
thought it was just the hand thing, but now it's not.
Yeah,
like
that's
it.
What I thought too.
But Kanzaki apparently knows that there's like a bigger thing that it's connected to.
Or maybe he just assumed when he heard machine, he pictured something big.
Yeah, could be.
He's dumb.
He is kind of dumb.
So it's someplace by the pool, and that's where, you know, Himekawa happens to be. So it's all good.
And chapter ends with a face off between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Which, this should be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know I've said it before, but for some reason, those two have always seemed like a pair in my head. You know, like...
Did you ship them?
Yeah, a little. He made Paul was very pretty when he lets his hair down. He's the uke.
That's true. I forgot about that.
God, I hope I didn't use that terminology right. Why do I still remember that?
You hope you didn't use it right?
Yeah.
I don't
know. Well, I did use it right. Ah, oh, God. Stupid Yaoi terminology. Why is that in my head?
And we know what Mike watches on his off time now.
Yep.
Anyway.
It was a great chapter.
Yeah, good.
Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Kanzaki wins this fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
just possibly.
I think if anything, we're going to get revelations into what Himekawa's true goal is next week.
Probably.
It's going to be real interesting if we see another kind of crest show up on him.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if we're going to see, get a full revelation, but I think it's going to get hints.
Yeah.
I really don't think we're going to find out what his game is until we get to the third guy.
Yeah.
Himekawa didn't eat a piece of the soul, did he?
No.
No.
So he does not have to lose tonight.
In fact, there's only two still out of play, Takamiya's and Scarface's, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm guessing the Himekawa thing is not going to be completely resolved with this portion of the arc.
Or maybe he'll use the machine on Kanzaki, and then Beelzebub just runs back up to the...
just rotating chairs of Beelzebub.
I would be okay with that.
I like this chapter because it very quickly boiled this arc down to three major fights.
Yeah.
Kanzaki Himekawa, Oga Takamiya, Tojo Lackey Dude.
Yes, and in a very satisfactory, both from a comedy and from a fighting point of view.
It wrapped them up
very cleanly.
The Hime Boys part was amazing.
Yeah, that was great. And it finally gave Beelzebub some agency in this story.
Yeah, he's grown up. He's off doing things by himself now.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be home by curfew.
He's going to go out and make friends without his dad.
I really hope that someday there is a time skip and then it's him in high school or something.
And he still can't talk.
Uh-huh. Or he's still using the pacifier.
That would be a little weird.
That one guy from Yu Yu Hakusho.
The Enma?
Yeah, Koenma.
Koenma, yeah.
Yeah.
For a second there, I thought you said Enema.
No, we're not doing the Yaoi talk anymore.
No.
I can envision a Beelzebub manga where Beelzebub talks, as a toddler.
Yeah.
I think we'll get there someday.
I can envision it, but I'd prefer not to.
You just want him to be innocent forever?
No, I just enjoy the running joke of him not being able to, having to pantomime communication and that sort of stuff.
Ah.
Yeah.
The Super Mario RPG jokes.
Yes.
So, good chapter.
Yeah. Definitely one of the better chapters this week.
So, should we move on to World Trigger? Any more guesses?
Nah, I think we covered it.
Yeah. Okay,
World Trigger.
So yes, I'm curious. Have you even listened to this stuff, Robin, from previous weeks or not?
No, I haven't, because I want to catch up on my own.
Are we just going to spoil the shit out of it for you?
Yeah, I guess so. Or can you, talk around it?
So, God, I can't believe...
You already did, kind of, in some of the early stuff, talking about... Because I don't think that the Black Trigger stuff was discussed in the Scanlations yet.
Yeah, what's a... Black Trigger.
It's a trigger that's a little bit bigger than the other ones.
It's something.
Okay.
God, can you believe that Yuma died? I mean, this chapter starts bleeding out. It's really graphic for Shonen Jump.
Wow.
Yeah, what? That's what this manga is there's the extra lives thing, so they can be graphic.
And I mean, Osamu did it.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Although that does remind me that, what is it? Gamoran, I think it was called, ran in Shonen Jump, and that had people getting stabbed and having limbs chopped off all the time.
Oh, limbs get chopped off all the time in Bleach.
Well, not all the time, because fights usually take forever, but, you know.
Frequently.
Basically all the time. Nonstop.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess...
Bleach's go-to power establishment move.
I bet an arm got cut off.
Well, except for that one where... what was it? The one visor got cut entirely in half.
Oh, which one was that? Was that the Arrowy Narrow? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Their names are weird. I can't remember.
Yeah, why are we talking about Bleach? We're having a blessed vacation from it. Let's move on to World Trigger.
Oh, I want to talk about Bleach. All right.
Bleach has daddy issues too. It fits.
Not anymore.
Okay, so we pick up after some training between Kuma and Konoha.
It's continuing the training arc and basically finding an excuse for them to have to do physical training in addition to the try-in training.
So something in here bothers me that it's something that happens in sitcoms a lot, where the B story, the time frame of it is different than the A story, even though they're supposed to be happening in parallel.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Well, it seems like multiple days have passed in this training while the same standoff on the same night is still happening between Jin and the other guys.
If I'm not mistaken, this is one day later. So like this is the second day.
Yeah, but it's still like 30 seconds after the last time we checked in on the other story.
No. I'm saying that what we checked in on the other story was tonight, like this day.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, we jumped forward the one day at the end of the previous chapter.
You guys know what I'm talking about, though, in stories where, like, it happens in The Simpsons a lot, where, like, the two stories do not move at the same pace.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about.
One takes a week and one takes 2 days, but they all meet at the same place somehow.
Mm-hmm. So I guess we're going to have to keep this one vague for Robin's benefit, but first off, our prediction or our thoughts on the one character's eyes look to be correct because there is definitely
they zoom in on it. It's very explicit.
Deep zoom in. That is totally a grid.
Yeah. So
one of those aliens or something.
It doesn't seem like it. They're very against those aliens, so I doubt.
Yeah.
Their lead.
Yeah, they would never be friends with those evil aliens, right?
No, it's complicated. There's racist groups and there's less racist groups within Border.
There is politics within Border, which gets spelled out much more concretely in this chapter. That's actually what a lot of the conversation seems to have to do with.
Yeah, the dynamics of the three branches of Border.
Yeah, well, the branches and then the main... I don't think it's called a main branch. It's just the main thing. The main...
collective of Border.
Yeah. The branches versus the bureaucracy? I don't know.
So basically,
Bordocracy.
Jin uses an excuse that he is protecting Border by not letting these guys do what they want to do. As justification
which therefore allows him to stand up to them.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, they specifically note that they're selected for their ability to stand up to Black Triggers, so it establishes that Jin might be in trouble here, except one of the other branches also showed up. So we're getting more characters.
And Ai shows back up, so that's awesome. The girl.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, Arashiyama.
She was a fun character.
Oh, all these guys were fun. I like the leader.
Yeah.
The super hot blood dude.
So, anyway, the chapter ends, and I guess this will be the spoiler for Robin a little bit, is that we're going to see some border agent on border agent violence coming up here.
And all swords all the time.
Well, no, that's just kind of they're drawing it, but then once they activate their triggers, I'm sure that something different will happen.
God, it's gonna be hard without spoiling too much. I enjoy how similar these two characters are.
Yeah, the one where they have the especially just in their look, like when they have the the straight on face image of the two, it's kind of like, oh, that's how I tell them apart.
I mean, even in their costuming, like the one dude wearing all black with the white sword and.
Yeah.
Jin dressed down more casually with a black sword.
Yeah. But now that you had pointed it out, the similarities to kind of Full Metal Alchemist, every chapter I'm reading it, I'm seeing a little bit more of that.
You're filtering.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Jin is Hughes. I get it.
Well, no. Not thinking in that sentiment, just that the style of it seems to... I don't know. I am sure that the mangaka of the series is a fan of Full Metal Alchemist.
What I'm saying is Jin's gonna die.
Hmm.
Not now, but I mean eventually.
Not now, but when they find out that, what's his name is actually a neighbor who shapeshifts, But...
Yeah. And he's infiltrated down to the deepest cores. We should reiterate that Konami is great. Have you seen her yet, Robin, in as far as you've gotten?
I'm pretty sure that she's
blonde chick.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Or wait, no. I don't think he has.
Oh.
How far has the how far have you gotten?
Let me check.
How far have you happened to read? Just you know, random
yes, just randomly based on nothing in particular.
And then you stop.
Well, you know, you have the means to read further. It's just that it's a bit more of a hassle.
15, chapter 15.
That's meaningless to us.
Yeah, I that's all in one go.
Me was unit 02. The chapter? I don't know.
That's 10 chapters ago. Holy crap. That's he has not met Konami. I can guarantee that.
Konami's the best.
Yeah. Whatever.
It's a good manga. You should catch up on it. Everybody should catch up
yes,
on
everybody
yeah,
should read it.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
And by that... Oh, yes, and I guess the current sign-up bonus is that, what's it called? You can get three more of those Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
That will just you can just sell those and pay for your subscription.
Yeah, like I checked the one that I just got in the mail is going for $10 right now on eBay.
It's the Steam cards of manga.
Except much rarer. Yeah, did you give them your address? Are you getting that to Robin or not?
No, I didn't give them my address.
Yeah, I missed out on that for the first, like, 6 months because I forgot to, like, actually put that in there.
Okay, I do have a shipping address in there, so I must be...
Yeah, but if... So you have to put the shipping address in, and then, like, you know, once every 3 months, they'll send you a Yu-Gi-Oh card that you can sell in the mail.
Are they really worth that much?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the only way to get them. And if I'm not mistaken, they are, you know, fairly decent, powerful cards.
Until recently, Shonen Jump Alpha was not available in a lot of countries, so... You know, people in Europe were just kind of shit out of luck if they wanted them.
And, like, Japan.
Yeah, you know, that place. They probably have their own Japanese version of it.
I don't know, the online one, you think?
Mm.
But yeah, here's the link to the sold listings for the card that I got. So,
Jumpcast, your number one source for eBay tips.
Yes.
Buy Yu-Gi-Oh cards, then sell.
I have like a ton of Magic cards that I still need to sell.
I play Yu-Gi-Oh! Like once every few years on the DS or Game Boy or whatever.
Oh yeah, I played one of those.
I just pick them up and they're fun because you get all the cards for like $20.
Yeah, I just think it's funny with Magic. Isn't it the case where you can, you know, mail your cards into Wizards of the Coast and then they will gift you or like grant you the digital versions of those in the online version of Magic?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. All the stuff like transferring back and forth between the online and the real version is just completely fucked.
I want to see the person that mailed, like a first edition Black Lotus to get.
Well, no, they don't have any of those cards in the online version. It's all like only newer stuff on there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So none of the cards that I would have.
Yeah, probably not. But yeah, the online version. Oh, man. I remember all the controversy about that. Don't get me into it.
Okay, I won't.
Don't even get him started on Magic the Gathering.
The prices are the same for online cards and physical cards. Just,
so you're paying like $20 for a digital card?
Yeah, or like $5
you,
for
you
a
buy booster packs or something
yeah,
like
you
that.
Yeah, you buy booster packs. Yeah. Or you can pay like $100 for a virtual booster box.
Ooh.
Oh.
You don't even get a big stack of cardboard out of it.
And of course, you know, we're making fun of this, and Mike and I are two of the people of our group who have been most going down the rabbit hole of Steam badges.
And
so.
I have found the perpetual machine of Steam
crazy.
Cards. Dude, you idle in crappy games, and those cards sell for more, and use them to buy cards for the good games. It's perfect.
Crazy.
Which, actually, speaking of which, there is one game I have not idled in yet, so I'm going to go launch that while we continue with this.
So, in conclusion, we'll... On to Naruto.
Yes. How about that World Trigger, guys?
Well, we can't talk about it because we're being nice to you.
Wait, yes, Robin, haven't you been on a podcast that we've talked about World Trigger on recently?
No, this is only like our third week talking about it, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, he started after I left.
Okay.
Or since last time I was on, after I left.
Okay, he has technically been on a podcast that we've talked about it,
yes,
but only
that's
for
right.
like 30 seconds.
Oh, shit, I'm not taking notes on when we're changing manga. The line notes for this are going to be terrible.
Oh, who cares?
What, you're not going to listen through it just to find out?
I don't have the time to listen to a podcast. What do I look like? I actually do listen to these podcasts. I'm hilarious.
Yeah. I jump to the kicker to see what Imran chooses. So
I only listen to the episodes I'm on.
See, I listen to the episodes I'm not on.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm kidding. I listen to all of them.
So
I'm just behind.
Naruto, stuff happening.
Yes. Good chapter.
The second is amazing in this chapter, just up front.
Yeah. They're establishing a character as, you know, the competent one for him.
I like that. I feel like Kishimoto like realized, it's like, hey, nobody likes this guy. I'm just going to make him do all the good stuff and everyone else just fuck up all the time.
Well, to be fair, he's not the only one who does good stuff this chapter.
So
it's kind of like the same thing that happened with Sasuke, right?
Yeah. Okay, so it starts with Obito being on fire still.
Yes.
And the second does the smart thing and, like, double taps him or something. Like, a bunch of black balls go shooting back into the fire.
Oh, no, I assumed that was the chakra balls thing coming out of it.
Okay, yeah, that's right. He had the... Yeah, he did... Remember, he had that ring of chakra balls behind him that they teleported him away from. So, anyway, so I guess they shoot in the fire and then they protect him. So.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Or they're, you know, deleting it, as we find out.
Didn't have any effect.
You're
nothing doing. Everybody is shocked. Exclamation points.
Nobody gives Sasuke a hard time about this. They just let it slide. Totally ineffective. Good job, Sasuke.
Totally worth it.
Idiot. So, they point out that the second's arm is not regenerating at all. And it should have.
Not the second.
That's unfortunate.
Fourth.
Yes. Yeah. And then Obito, you know, is nice enough to say, you know, that he's attained the powers of the shinobi ancestors, so common sense and logic no longer matter.
He can do whatever he wants.
Screw basically. The rules, he has money.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is, for all intents and purposes of this fight, God. He is the Japanese RPG final boss.
So the second deduces that he is canceling out the resurrection jutsu when he attacks them. Which, kind of sucks for the third Hokage, huh?
Yeah.
He kind of just got unceremoniously.
Well, but he was not in the in-control form when that happened, right?
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, like, so, at the time that he took out the third, he was still in the crazy, not in control of everything form, so
good,
I suspect he'll resurrect.
I kind of felt bad for the third Hokage that he was just not even mentioned as having already been killed.
Yeah, he's kind of just not showing up anymore.
But basically, this is, you know, the power establishment. A character loses an arm to...
oh, man, that wasn't intentional. Manga.
To up the ante to demonstrate that the Hokages are now vulnerable.
Which is good, because Edo Tensei is just, like, the worst plot device ever. Basically.
Yeah. The thing that gets me is that, like Madara is just somehow self-sustaining now. Like...
Yeah, he doesn't give a fuck.
And it's like, oh, I revived you and your legendary one-of-a-kind weapon. How? Chakra. Whatever.
Eh, who cares? I can do that.
I clap my hands together next to a corpse. What?
something Uchiha.
Yeah, he is the original Uchiha, so
Naruto,
he can do whatever he wants.
Naruto gets all fired up by the stakes getting raised.
Yes, and decides he's going to go into, you know, the Bijuu, Bijuu form, right?
You know, Super Saiyan 2.
Yeah, the thing where, you know, it, like, Killer Bee does all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it fizzles out.
Gamakichi shoots out a water shot at Obito. And it is ineffective.
What a shock.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's not that it's ineffective.
Oh, we are led to believe it is ineffective.
Yes. And it's because the summon time is running out, so he's, you know, heading out and he wanted to do something.
Straight dumping, you know, as the timer runs down.
Yes.
Yep.
And then Naruto notices something and uses his brain, which is the most amazing thing.
Maybe he wants his dad to notice him.
He's really showing off now.
Yeah.
Pulling out all the stops.
So Naruto deduces that the water did not disappear, and it was a sage attack, therefore Obito must not have power over sage attacks.
This
therefore makes total he needs sense. To stand very, very still.
Yeah, actually, come to think of it, doesn't he need the frogs to go into sage mode? Or
No. The frogs thing was to allow it to be perpetual motion sort of thing, so they would stay still and gather sage chakra while What's-His-Face was running around.
Right.
Now, the thing is, they were rejected because he was a Jinchuriki back in the day, and, you know, Kurama was not playing nice with him. Hypothetically, wouldn't Kurama staying still be able to gather sage energy now? Or, well, I guess Kurama himself doesn't, yeah.
He doesn't really have, like, a physical form.
Yeah.
He's kind of always standing still, like, within the mind space or whatever.
Yeah, so the little frogs technically should be able to do that now, I would expect, but they're probably not going to show back up.
So, Naruto and the second Hokage develop a plan without words, because they're both awesome this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fourth distracts Obito a little bit by, you know, making conversation.
Yep. Starts basically taunting Obito, more or less.
I don't necessarily know if it'd be taunting so much as...
I guess he does have his own little breakdown of realizing that if he had stopped Obito back in the day...
Yeah.
Basically nothing would have happened.
He's kind of going through...
able to see past, like, a carnival mask back then.
Yeah, it's the, you know...
The hair is a dead giveaway.
Everybody in the world knew that was Obito the first time he showed up.
Yep. Man, remember when he was like a cowardly sidekick character?
For like 5 minutes.
Oh, he was fun as the comic relief side character.
Remember when the three tails were just beating the crap out of him while Deidara watched?
Mm-hmm.
you do know that was a filler episode, right?
No, it happened in the manga too.
No, I thought that they just mentioned that they had gotten it. I didn't think that it was beating up on him.
I could have sworn they showed, like, a page or two of it happening.
Yeah, they showed a little.
Maybe.
Because
okay.
I've never seen any of that filler crap, and I remember it happening.
Okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Obito decides to take this time to insult the role of Hokage.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, fair enough. He is basically Ninja God.
Yeah.
I do like the panel of the second looking at Naruto going, so a brain actually exists inside of that head of his.
Oh, the second's such a dick. I love him now.
Yeah. I like how for like the longest time we had such ennui towards him of like, yeah, he's just kind of there. We don't care about him. And now he's just kind of really entertaining.
He's like super competent asshole ninja.
He's super competent.
Well, he was always an
ninja.
Asshole.
Yeah. He's a racist asshole. But,
he was funny, like, in comparison to the first, because he was just such an asshole back when he was first introduced.
Basically the polar opposite of Hashirama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
then it cuts out to, you know, Naruto saying that Obito has no right to be able to make fun of someone who achieved Hokage, and this panel is the giveaway of what happened in that he didn't have to use a clone to make the Rasengan, which he is only able to do that in Sage Mode.
Ah. I didn't catch that the first time.
Huh.
So,
you know, that's one of the things that showed up in, for the first time anyway, in the Pain Fight was, you know, he was doing it with both hands and that sort of stuff during that. And any other time, he always needed a clone to make it.
So being in Sage Mode and not being able to move, the second quickly rushes behind him and teleports Naruto into Obito.
Yeah, like, directly above him.
I love that he's just using Naruto as, like, an immobile weapon. Just, like, throwing
him.
Well,
no, that's great. Naruto's able to move now. It's only when he's gathering the chakra.
Okay. Still, he's using Naruto as a weapon. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, because, you know, Naruto doesn't know how to teleport. Yeah.
And Obito actually bleeds.
Yes.
He can still bleed.
Senjutsu, sage techniques actually work.
For some reason.
And
well.
So who is that that's shouting in the final panel there on the bottom?
You little shit.
Yeah. I can't tell which person it is that's saying that.
It's
Naruto. Yeah. Okay. It's coming from the lower little person there.
Yeah. And, you know, then The fourth has a moment of, wow, maybe my son actually accomplished something of himself, like that Sasuke kid.
Maybe he's not a complete idiot.
Maybe he can stand next to Sasuke someday.
Maybe he can be as good as Sasuke someday.
Hey, you know who's cool?
Who?
Sasuke.
I thought you were going to say the QB.
Oh. Also the evil QB that lives inside. Yeah.
Well, no, it's not evil. It's the other half of his chakra.
Oh, he's all evil looking.
It's the evil half of the chakra.
it's the black to the white in the yin yang thing.
Yeah, so it turns out that the evil fox that was living inside Naruto the whole time was the good Kyuubi.
Well, no, like the entire thing is, in order to be able to go into this, you know, fourth mode or the Jinchuriki mode thing that Minato has been the entire time, he has to have conquered or made a deal with that side of the QB, right?
Makes you wonder when he did it.
I guess. Well, yeah, because didn't he like,
limbo
die
for
immediately?
A long time.
Do you think he was like doing stuff in limbo? I figured like just while Hashirama was telling that stupid story, he was just talking to the QB the whole time.
Yeah.
Just zoning out. Uh-huh, ninjas do things. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I get it.
I mean, hypothetically, weren't they supposed to be getting, like, eternally tortured inside the God of Pain or something like that?
Yeah, something like
that. Nah. I don't know. I don't think they ever really specified they were being tortured. They were just kind of there.
I mean, they seem pretty fine when they come out of it. Like,
Yeah.
They're just like, oh, I have sensations again.
They weren't like, oh, thank God I'm out of there. They're just like, huh, weird.
Yeah.
Hey,
oh, hey, Orochimaru. You survived.
You're still around, huh?
Eh. Not my problem anymore. Yeah, so...
So the fourth is totally going to die soon now, right?
Yeah. He's going to give the QB to Naruto and die.
Right, because he can't do chakra, or he can't do hand signs anymore with only one arm, so...
Why would they establish that these guys can die and then not kill anyone?
Yeah.
But do you guys think the second's going to die first?
Nah, I think the fourth will die next, and then the second will die after that.
The second's going to hang around and become the sixth Hokage.
Just put my face up there again. Yes, I'm serious.
Well, no, they'll just still call him the second, you know, be the same way that the third came back after the
No, I think the second role is that he would just want to be called the sixth Hokage. Did it twice. No Uchihas in my village. Get out.
Oh, that's why Naruto and Sasuke are gonna fight, right?
You heard the man, Sasuke, get the fuck out of my village. Uchiha,
but yeah,
crap.
Solid chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I like that they came up with a believable reason that Naruto can actually fight Obito.
I like that they came up with a believable reason that Naruto is the only one who can fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally, something that Sasuke can't participate in.
Well,
until he goes to the human bone.
Yes,
yes, until he goes to the human bone.
And gets Dragon Sage mode.
Which is definitely going to happen.
This is the reminder that Kabuto is probably still standing in that cave.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Well, you know, it's only been like, what, 2 hours?
Yeah, I know. I just don't find it funny. They just left him there.
Well, Orochimaru will probably go back and just, like, pick him up.
I want to see that shot of him with just Kabuto under his arm, just walking away.
And Kabuto was holding the same...
Just at the end, in the last chapter of the series, you know, when it's double-sized and they show the clips of all the people that he's helped all over the world, there will be one panel where it'll show him still standing in the cave.
He's just got Kabuto propped up against the wall.
Yeah, he's, like, drinking tea.
They set him up as a statue inside of the Hokage's office.
Yeah.
They build it. They mistake him for the Hokage and build his picture on the mountain, but they make the nose too big.
Okay, that one was a stretch.
Yeah, I know. I realized that about halfway through.
You're like, damn it, I started this joke, I'm going to finish it.
I commit to the jokes. Even if they die. Like the fourth Hokage is going to.
Again.
Yes. Yeah, can we really call it dying when they just don't resurrect?
Well, they are immortal chakra zombies, so...
Yes, it'll be the first real death for him, because previously he was going, you know, inside of that limbo space.
Yeah.
Well, that's technically death, because you're inside the god of death.
Yeah, that's the point. Now he's just going to be next to him instead of inside of his gut.
Well, but isn't the god of death dead?
Yeah, didn't they kill him? I thought... I could
yeah.
Somebody killed him.
Yeah, because Orochimaru cut his belly, and that's why...
Yeah, man, that's right. He put on the mask.
Starting to think that that wasn't actually, like, the god of death, as we're calling him. But yeah.
It was probably just a god of death.
But he got these dudes back.
No, okay, yeah, no. Okay, this spectral entity known as the Shinigami, literally meaning death god, so...
Yeah.
He's probably just a death god.
Still. That was really weird. There's just, like, a mask to summon him that nobody really talked about for the whole series. Like, oh, that would have been really useful. You know, you don't die or anything when you use it. Way better than other technique.
Yeah.
So, Assassination Classroom. We got two chapters this week.
Right? Yes. Yes. Really good chapters.
One that was finally released in English.
Yes.
But, Ching. So anyway, we start with Akino finding out about the wager.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then drawing up this insane contract that they have to agree to if they lose. Yes, he basically wishes for 1,000 wishes.
But it's within the rules, so, you know.
Yeah, totally.
And like in most things, there is a, with this character, there is a hidden agenda behind it.
Light Yagami has a hidden agenda?
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, within it, they have a whole bunch of things that basically turn them into turn Class E into slaves for Class A.
Uh-huh.
That's late at night.
Yep. Sorry.
Yeah. You didn't get to have a nap while inside of a medical machine.
That's true.
Yeah.
But you actually slept in that thing?
It was only my legs up to my knee that were inside of it, and you basically have to lay still for the entire time, and it was 20 minutes, so I dozed a little bit, yeah.
So anyway, five? Yeah, five rules that they're going to have to follow.
No, it was like 50.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They show like five.
Yeah, they show five.
He says
but there's 50.
Oh.
There's other ones that they show later.
Yeah.
Well, the ones we see range from everything from saying hi to them in the morning to performing tricks for them once a week. Which is the funniest one, I find.
Yeah.
Of course, they have to come up with a new trick every week. But anyway, he just gives an inspiring speech about how, you know, they always have to give their all because that's what makes them the A-class.
Right. This isn't just about, you know, being better. It's about making an example out of them and all that sort of thing.
And then the narrator, I guess?
Yeah, that narrator guy.
He then compares... what is this guy's name anyway? Asano?
I forget what his name is.
Akino.
No, it's Asano.
Yeah.
Asano.
Where is it? Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Compares him to the Antichrist. Talking about the power and charisma he has.
Which is pretty great. I love the drawing
for
that.
666.
And, yeah, and the like lady head. Everybody worshipping him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just realized all the people worshipping him are wearing school uniforms.
I did not notice that either.
So he exemplifies the A, and the A is an ace class, and there isn't anyone in the school that can stand up to him.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Karma
is dozing off. And Koro-sensei is lecturing him because he has the potential to be number one, but he's lazy.
So lazy.
He is.
And then Karma, you know, lambasts Koro-sensei saying, you're sounding like a normal teacher right now. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, just telling everyone just do better. It's like a shitty, boring teacher.
Yeah.
And so Koro-sensei, you know, comes up with the idea of what Class E will demand if they win the bet.
Yeah, he was reading the school brochure.
And it's... something.
Yes. I have my theories on what it is.
What do you think it is?
I think it's the main building.
Yeah. That'd be pretty great.
The entire rest of the school is going to get like sent off to the satellite complex while they get the school.
That would be entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be pretty good.
Or even just Class A. You know, make Class A go out there and have them get to be in the main building.
So yeah, with the incentives of the tentacles and whatever this mysterious grand prize is.
Yeah, I'm actually guessing, given the slight panel that it's pointing at, and like it looks like there's party favors set up and whatnot, I'm just going to guess that it's going to be a giant festival party or something like that. Something that in retrospect would be a giant waste, but yeah.
But would entice high school kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're going to get so crunk at that party.
Yes. So Koro-sensei has now labeled each of his tentacles for, you know, which one he's like, and this little piggy gets killed if you win in this.
Are they actually labeled, or is that just for our benefit?
No, I'm pretty sure that they're labeled.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yep. So it's social studies, science, English, math, Japanese, and composite?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It's like the overall. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
And so then we cut to the professors who are making the test.
Which look like they look like horrible monsters.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up with them.
Yeah.
Well, yes, they're not questions anymore. They're monsters.
Yes. Problem.
They are problem behemoths.
Problem Robins.
Yeah. Problem Robin Van Gilders.
Mm-hmm.
Problem Van Gilder. There we go.
There we go.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, then we find out
that one a little bit.
We find out what the plan was amongst the 50 requirements is for the whole duration of this interaction, Class E must remain truthful to Class A at all times. So they can't keep secrets and that sort of stuff.
Which means
he can ask about the teacher.
Or
the
what the secret is. Not necessarily the teacher.
Yeah, he doesn't even know. I guess Koro-sensei's disguises are really working.
Yeah.
I wonder if that,
so then we have a
wonder if that composite teacher with gloves and a fake nose knows anything about the secret.
Yeah, I don't think so.
And so then there's a, you know, composite shot of everybody studying, with the best one being Bitch Sensei, you know,
teaching,
writing answers on her chest.
I don't even think they're answers. I think she's just like tutoring him via writing on her chest.
Yeah, because one side is Japanese and the other is English.
Yeah.
That's a way to learn.
Yep.
That is a dangerous teacher.
It's almost like she's an assassin.
And then the test day arrives.
Yes.
And we get one of the best sight gags ever.
What's that?
Not really even a sight gag, but, like, when there's the two guys who are, you know, teasing them, and the girl puts pencils into his nostrils and then just kind of rips them out.
So... those are the two dudes that always tease Nagisa, right?
I think so, yeah.
Why are they, like, hugging?
Because they're best friends.
Because that's just how Japanese high school kids are.
Dudes just kind of hang out in the hallway, hugging each other, you know.
Yeah.
Chilling. Yeah, I do love the nose-ripping thing, because in the next panel you see that one of the pencils even broke.
Yeah. The eyes completely bugging out. I mean, that looks just straight up ridiculously painful.
Oh, and then we get the best sight gag on the next page.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh,
you were talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot about this.
Ritsu's there taking a test. It's Ritsu.
It's totally Ritsu.
A kind of chubby, normal-looking girl is there wearing a Ritsu wig.
Yes, and she got tutored by Ritsu, which is the only way that she would be allowed to take the exam.
I gotta side with the chairman here to not let an AI take an exam.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
She's technically not a normal student anyway, so,
I just
you know.
Love that she's even dressed up like Ritsu. It's fantastic.
Yeah, with a wig and everything.
You have to maintain the facade.
I hope this girl comes back, like, time and whenever they go somewhere that Ritsu can't follow, this girl is just there.
Yeah.
So that,
Ritsu's proxy.
Test day.
And so the test begins.
And a montage of people getting ready for a test.
Yes.
And they grab their pencils, and it turns into a giant, like, hammer mace.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they take on the problem behemoths. And that was a long chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah. They really pack a lot into these chapters.
And now to this week's.
Yeah. The exciting conclusion.
Not quite.
No.
Not quite.
The exciting... awful, really bad cliffhanger that, oh my god, why isn't there a new chapter yet?
Yeah, no, they did these two so quickly, and then...
Well, I mean, we're, like, what, 3 weeks behind now or something like that?
Yeah, it's still pretty behind.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And this isn't in legitimate Shonen Jump.
No, for some reason. For some reason, they don't want to have a manga about killing your teacher.
Yeah, I can't imagine why. God.
Honestly, I imagine that it's just that a lot of the... Well, not that much of the humor and sensibilities in this series are, you know, Japanese in nature.
Yeah, it translates.
Yeah, most of the translation stuff is fine. It, well, except for, like, during the Kyoto arc.
Or, yeah,
like,
they do have to do a lot of liner notes occasionally.
Yeah, like the fish puns during the Megu stuff. Anyway, problem behemoths. They're way stronger than the midterms.
Than regular questions.
I know we said it last time there were tests, but this visualization of battles as tests is just great.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It makes me want to game.
Well, last time it was a little weird, but this time is a lot more entertaining.
So I want like a combination of Monster Hunter and Brain Training for the Assassination Classroom game.
Yeah, that'd be great. Where it like asks you trivia, and depending on how well you do, it gives you better weapons.
Yeah.
Or like, and then it just shows like your avatar killing monsters. Basically,
you hit a button.
No, and then you have to fight the monsters.
Like for the quick time events, you'd like go for a slash, and it would pop up like 7 times 9 equals, and you'd have to write in what it is really fast.
That could actually work pretty well.
Yeah.
So we see Nagisa, girl Nagisa, and Rio. I think is her first name.
Yeah.
Nakamura.
Totally.
I think.
I don't know. I can never remember anyone's name in this class.
The blonde girl that's been hitting on Nagisa a bunch lately.
Yeah.
They're all taking the English test against the guy from LA, who we find out just lived in LA briefly while his parents were at work.
He learned plenty about the basics of conversation during that time.
See, I thought they had an actual American there, which would have been a lot funnier that he lost.
Yeah, no. Well, from the sounds of things, it's like, you know, living in a place a year is enough that you actually pick up a lot more than people typically would.
Yeah, and for the level of English that they would normally teach in a high school, he'd probably...
Yeah.
Yeah. Although it's still
I do like how they managed to, like, actually recognize that they didn't get the answer right.
Yeah.
As they're doing it, like, oh no, I got it wrong. What?
Yeah. And be able to tell that, oh, hey, that other person got it right.
Yeah, apparently they're all cheating off of each other or something.
Yeah.
No, Rio's just like going, yes, nailed it, like out loud.
Yeah, right.
The quiet test area. Yeah.
So it turns out that the question was, you know, from Catcher in the Rye, which is...
What I thought I'd do is I'd be one of those deaf mutes.
Yep.
That is all I know about Catcher in the Rye.
Yeah, I've never read it.
But... Ghost
that wasn't one that I was required to read either, actually.
No.
I read Huckleberry Finn, Great Gatsby, Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, did all those, did a number of others. The one that stuck with me as the, just, oh, I hated it so much when I was reading it, was As I Lay Dying.
Oh, we read Heart of Darkness. That was a rough one.
That one was rough to read under, like, circumstances of a classroom. It's actually not that bad a book if you go back and read it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure if I read it again, I would like it. But at the time, it was just, like, way too dense. I couldn't get anything out of it.
In high school, my elective English class was a Bible study class, which was...
What?
No, it was studying the Bible as a piece of literature, not as a religious document. You know, analyzing it as a... You know, it is a book from the time.
Yes, and, you know, finding, like, oh, these are the... You can tell the voices of the different authors and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, we had independent reading in that, and I managed to convince him to let me read The Da Vinci Code for my independent study on the Bible. That was the best class.
I'm assuming that he hadn't read it himself.
It was, like, brand new. It was, like, the hot new book at the time.
God. That's amazing.
I know, like, looking back on it, like, piece of shit book. Other people...
So manga.
Anyway.
Catcher in the Rye. Yeah.
Yeah. She's read it because she has a good teacher that suggested she read stuff electively.
Yes.
And she actually bothered to do so.
Yeah.
He suggested it because it's good for teenagers, so, which, I guess...
The weird thing this seems to be establishing is that the Class A students only, like... They did everything in the classes, but they never did stuff on their own.
Well, I think it's supposed to be... later on they get more into this, but I think it's supposed to be more of, like, the sort of stereotypical Asian thing of, like, rote memorization of a lot of facts versus understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's the teaching problem-solving skills versus teaching the material.
Yeah. Class E learned all sorts of problem-solving skills and really engaged with it, rather than just memorizing a bunch of facts, which may or may not be on the test.
Yeah, so...
So suddenly this turned into, like, education policy propaganda, which is kind of weird.
That's always... that, it always has felt that, like, that's a little bit of the undertone of the manga.
Yeah.
Kind of exposing that Japanese schools are kind of effed up in the way...
Yeah,
well,
and also, like,
it's
that,
like, I mean, the, like, they're really good in some ways, but one of the things that, what's it called, that I've actually heard, and mind you, this is all secondhand, so I can't speak to actual experience, is that Japanese students, when they come out of school, feel like that they, in general, tend to, with the exception of the dropouts, tend to lack creativity because there is none of the arts and music and whatnot, except for as clubs that are, you know, mandatory extracurriculars where you choose one thing.
So they come out of there as just, like, fact robots, not as, like...
Kind of, yeah, yeah. Now, like I said, this is all secondhand...
Well, I could see it working a lot like how this manga pertains, that, like, 90% of the people it works out great for, but for the ones that get left behind, they're
yeah.
kind of effed, and they're...
Yeah, and they kind of hinted at that with the artist guy in that one chapter, where it's like nobody thinks that art is anything worthwhile, and so he was put in Class E, even though he's this amazing artist.
Ehara?
Yeah. But, anyway.
So, science.
Yes. Science, which is apparently wizardry.
Yeah. yeah. I do like that all the problem behemoths are actually different. This thing's like a giant knight with...
Yeah, and, you know, with these memory sparks, I'll strip away the enemy's armor.
But he can't do the helmet. The problem
yes,
is too hard.
He hasn't memorized
everything, but he doesn't know how to solve the problems.
Yeah.
And then we pan over to Okuda? Is that her name? Something like that.
Something like that. The glasses girl the poison.
They really
time.
Need like subtitles every time someone shows up and being like, this person.
Yeah, well, they published a attendance sheet with everyone's name on it. But like...
And they had like the couple cover chapters where they had everybody's name, like five students at a time.
They just be doing that all the time. Always yeah. hovering over them. Like they're an online
Or we just need to start like having the wiki open when we're talking about this series.
What wiki? Isn't that popular?
Oh, I'm sure that there's an Assassination Classroom wiki. There's a wiki for everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Thundercats versus Street Sharks wiki. So yeah, she removes the helmet or, you know, solves the problem, and it's just got a little derpy face on it, which is hilarious.
Yep. And then it takes off all its clothes and runs off. Skips off. Excuse me.
And then it starts trying to eat people and, you know.
Yep.
I love the scene
best,
of it just
the actual naked. Best manga this week, Attack on Titan.
So social studies is like a Metal Gear with high heels and a tank head, and
God, very strange.
It's got like got like tits too. Like, what's going on there?
I don't know.
I didn't take a close look at this the first time. It's kind of messed up. It's got Africa on its head.
I have to admit that the question on this one seems awfully arbitrary.
It's something.
How am I supposed to know how many meetings the Prime Minister held?
Yeah, that's social studies, right?
Totally.
Yeah.
But yeah. So.
Not Tsukino is doing that fight.
Because Koro Sensei took him on a trip to Africa.
Because he's poor and
he can relate to the poor Africans.
Well, no, but that increased the interest, so therefore, you know.
I was poor in my free time, so I decided to study being poor at school.
Now, when you put it like that, it's kind of super depressing.
It is. It's like the most. It's like, oh, I know how to solve your problems. I'm going to teach you about poor people. It's like, this doesn't solve my problems.
I'm still poor.
Oh.
Now I'm just more learned about poor people. But yeah, that was such a dumb one of just... I don't think he could come up with a very hard social studies question that was believable, so he just got something super arbitrary.
Yeah, that was kind of dumb, but anyway.
So,
Japanese literature.
Yeah, Yukino's fighting the pretty boy guy.
Yep.
Who's still hitting on her while they're fighting.
Using, like, swallows or something.
That's right, that's what those are called, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I know that from Chrono Cross.
I played Chrono Cross, as we established
it. Chrono Cross.
Was that on Free-to-Play or this one that we talked much about Chrono Cross?
I think that was here, because, oh yeah, it was after the podcast the week that I was on.
We discovered that it was Serge and not Sergey.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. I. Anyway, let's move.
No, no. No, you were saying that it was Sergey, not Serge.
Yeah, but it is Serge. I found out.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Something about Japanese literature. Yukino wins.
Something untranslatable joke.
Yeah. On to the final round.
The final showdown.
Mathematics.
Light Yagami versus L.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't really hold up too well. Karma's not really an L.
So they all have so many weapons that they basically just go in with assault rifles, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, it shows that, you know, in Karma was second in math in the midterms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
So he's the chief rival to Asano.
Yeah. And Asano, like, the one thing that I was wondering was, okay, so, you know, it has him narrating to himself, and then there's a panel of Karma saying the look in everyone's eyes sure has changed, and then I read the next page as Karma monologuing to himself with the implication of, you know, I'll use this guy as a sacrifice to teach everyone that, you know, like, normal condition, under normal conditions it works, but we have to do something special. We have to beat him into the ground. So I was wondering whether Karma was going to break in and, you know, forge the grades to be terrible.
It's supposed to be read is this is all Asano talking in the bubble.
Yeah, because he's the whole thing with Classy is that they're supposed to be stay terrible to be an example to everyone else, you know. To encourage them not to fail.
Also, it's way more sinister when you have Asano talking about making Karma a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Because Karma's like the last great hope for the class.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not really, because after the rest of the thing, it was kind of implied that Class E won on 4 of them. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
All right, and then Koro-sensei gets the grades and end chapter.
3 days later, the results are to be continued.
Yep.
Terrible cliffhanger. Terrible.
Blue-balled off this chapter like it's building to something and then just stops.
Yep. Well, it was pretty good otherwise, though. All those fights.
Oh, yeah, no, it was a fun chapter. It's just, yeah.
So maybe next week, maybe 2 weeks from now. Who knows?
We'll probably get something this week.
Yeah, usually over the weekend.
Yeah.
Want it now. What do you guys think? I bet somehow all of Class E failed, even though they know they did good.
I bet Class B took all the top slots.
I'd be okay with that.
The narrator guy just killed it for some reason.
Yeah. He studied extra hard.
Because he wanted to be able to narrate everyone else's defeat.
He wants to go to narrator college and become a professional narrator. You know, play for the baseball team at the narrator college.
Mm-hmm.
The fighting talkies. I really do think Class E probably mysteriously failed everything.
Probably. Because it's more interesting if Light Yagami, basically, ends up finding out the secret and then goes to war against his dad or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, you know, thinking about it, our theory that he's going to end up in Class E, he'd find out the secret pretty easily that way.
Yeah, yes. That's what I think is going to happen, is that he's going to, like, get close and then end up in Class E somehow.
Use them to his advantage to crush his dad.
Yeah.
I told you guys, daddy issues. All over. God. I don't even want to discuss the next chapter. I just want to read the next chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just want to know what happens.
I guess next week there's no jump, but we might still have that to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we will have World Trigger as well.
Yeah, we'll have stuff. Probably a Nisekoi here or there.
Yeah, there was no release for that this week, so.
Huh.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, we might still have a jump next week, or we might do something else. Who knows?
So, let's move on to One Piece, which has the crew cover picture.
Yes, which has Law and Momonosuke and Kinemon on the crew page.
And Law has got some ink on him.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm. Surprisingly.
So, did Vivi ever show up in, like, the crew pictures?
I think so.
Yeah, she totally did.
This is not unprecedented to just have
No, no.
Yeah, and I think Jinbei did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jinbei's totally a crew member.
Well, not yet.
He'll show up at some point.
And Usopp's so anyway, comfortable.
Luffy's still fighting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Against DC.
Yeah, and basically, they're the last two now, officially.
Everyone else got knocked out by their haki.
Yeah.
Yep, so Luffy reveals that Rayleigh is still around.
Yeah, which
then
Don Qingzhao just breaks down into tears, suddenly.
Yes, yeah. For some reason.
Well, because he didn't get to be the Pirate King.
I bet he was like the last person. He was Gold Roger's Blackbeard.
No, like there was always what's it called? There was Whitebeard and then Shiki as well.
The mysterious thing for this for me is I don't think Don Qingzhao breaking down in tears is that like I think it's a gag now, but I think there's some relevance to it because then he starts to demand like immediately after demand from Luffy, what did Garp do to me?
Yeah, I think it's going to turn out that Garp didn't do anything to him.
Well, there's so much else in this chapter about lost memories and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That I can't help but wonder if it ties into that or something like that. Or if it might be like, he knows that Garp did something to him, but what it was Garp hit him hard enough that he doesn't remember now.
Well, I was wondering if it was a devil power that made him softer or something to the point where he would cry like a little girl over stuff. Like, if Garp can change personalities or something.
I don't think so.
Have we seen Garp swim? Because wasn't one of his big things about how, you know, you need to be able to swim?
Didn't he pull his ship or something?
Yeah, I think he swims.
Yeah. Garp doesn't
He's just,
have
like, ridiculously strong.
Yeah. Garp is just Garp.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was an
He was awesome
Garp.
Before we even saw his face.
Ah, I remember when he was just, like, this weird dog general that would show up.
Yeah.
So
in the cover arcs.
Then, by the grace of God, they cut away from the tournament.
Yes.
And we get to Kinemon and Sanji, who are standing outside now.
Yeah. And what we thought was going to happen is currently happening. The Colosseum is being surrounded by Marines.
Yep. They're all
and they're commenting that none of the people who have lost have come out.
Yeah, that's weird. Hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder if that might tie into what's discussed later in the chapter.
Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah, Bastille is there, the weird ogre vice admiral guy.
Wasn't he one of the giants?
He looks
like a Marine HQ.
No, I think there was one that he's definitely not a giant. He's tall, but he's like just one piece tall.
Oh yeah, there's a crowd shot with him. He's just like one of those ridiculously tall people.
He's just, you know, some people are just 9 feet tall in the One Piece universe.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
And then we cut back to Franky and I don't remember the name of the doll.
One Leg Soldier.
Yes.
Or Soldier One Leg, as you can see on his hat, it says SOL.
Saul. I'm just gonna call him Saul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
sure.
I love that Franky's still doing his like tea time bow tank thing.
Yeah,
that's so dumb.
It's the most convenient way to get around.
It's so dumb. He's got a giant teacup.
He wants to be comfortable.
So we learn a little bit about the division between toys and humans. And
they're not allowed in each other's houses, apparently.
And there's a curfew after a certain time.
Midnight.
They're not like really allowed to associate with humans, too.
Yeah, and we see a toy trying to speak to, you know, a woman saying that it's her boyfriend.
Yeah,
and
why don't you remember me?
And he gets dragged off by soldiers or something.
And tossed in the scrap.
Yes.
Which is kind of horrifying, even if we weren't about to discover some sort of dark secret.
Yeah, this was like, oh man, this is terrible. And then a page later, it's like, oh man, this is really terrible.
Yeah. Because then there's a woman and a child playing with a dog toy, which turns out...
And it turns out that the dog is his dad.
Yes.
Yeah.
His real name is Milo, and he was taken away from his family, and their memories were altered to not remember him.
Yes. So they ask about it, but basically, many are simply forgotten.
Yes. He even says, like, or the soldier goes on to say, all the toys were once human. Doflamingo came with a person that did this to us.
Yes. Yeah.
Devil fruit user.
So I'm assuming there's two, probably, right? One for memory and one for
toys. Yeah. That's my guess. Yeah.
I wonder if the toy one is the same one who's fighting people on this
ship. I don't think
ship.
So. That's more of an art thing. Not
necessarily. Yeah, I guess so.
Toy isn't really an art style.
Yeah, that seems like more of a temporary thing.
Although,
anyway.
You know, now that you think about it, Doflamingo's crew does seem very artistic at this point.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I guess Baby Five.
Well, yeah, Baby Five. She does her artistry with weapons.
Yeah. So then they need to get to the very conveniently labeled Flower Hill.
Yes.
Yes.
And then we cut back to Greenbit, where the fight is still going on. And it's very obvious that the Admiral is just attacking all of them just because.
He just wants to kill everyone. But he just says, oh, he's just awkward.
I'm just an awkward old man. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. I didn't mean to summon a meteorite that was going to kill everyone.
Whoops.
And Law is trying to get a hold of Nami, but Nami's not answering. I wonder why.
Maybe the ship got taken over and looks like a freaky painting now.
Which yes, and obviously, Greenbit is shaking because of Usulan's haki.
Yes, the dwarves conclude that his mighty power is causing the island to have earthquakes.
I really like that one dwarf with the king, or the crown for some reason.
The droopy crown.
Yeah.
It's because he's always so psyched about Usopp.
Yeah.
You mean the legendary hero Usuland?
Yes, and his friend Robiland. I can't wait for Zoroland to show up. Yes.
And, yeah.
So Usopp BS's his way into finding out what they're doing, and he finds out that they're going to go fight Doflamingo tonight.
Right now.
Yeah, get your shoes.
At the factory, beneath the Colosseum.
Dun, dun, dun!
So it turns out that Luffy, just by messing around, got the closest to the factory of any of them.
Which
yeah, I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder what's going to happen at the end of this fight.
Hey, you guys, you know what I don't think is connected at all?
What?
The missing people and the fact that the Colosseum is some weird factory.
You know what I think definitely isn't connected is the missing legendary champion and the soldier that's running around with Franky.
Huh.
Yes.
Wow. That's weird.
No. Or, you know, perhaps the Ricky who, you know, has a giant mask over his face so we can't see if he's a toy or not.
Hmm. These things are definitely not connected and we should just ignore all of them.
I don't feel any lines converging in the story arc at all.
Nah, it's still just way all over the place. I wonder when these people are going to have anything to do with each other again.
Yes, there are no parallels whatsoever.
Man, Oda's really good at this. Like, everything's starting to come together. That moment in the arc.
This one feels a lot better than the last one, where everyone was kind of split up for a long time.
Well, they're all just running towards the same place all the time.
Yeah.
Just running, period.
Like, we're running in fire. Hey, now we're running in snow. Now we're running inside. Oh, crap. Now we got to run outside.
Now we're running away from poison gas.
Now Harpy Monet's dead. Whoops.
Nah, she's not dead. Nobody dies in One Piece.
She'll get a
cover Ace.
Story. She's popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can
She'll
see
show
her getting
up with the. Oh, I can't even remember that guy's name anymore. The one who got cut up.
Virgo.
Virgo, yeah.
They're named after the star things.
That's right.
Well, that's what we thought, but there weren't any others who were, right?
Not yet.
Oh yeah, Doflamingo's other people are named after card suits.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has the four different...
But I kind of wondered if Vega wasn't part of the... whatever secret society he was part of. I can't remember. You know, the...
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Oh yeah.
His, like, FBI thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next chapter's going to be great. Maybe.
Yeah.
If Oda doesn't die again.
Yeah, jeez, he's...
Next chapter
really
is going
sick.
To be probably... I'm going to guess that it's going to be the resolution of Luffy's fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they smash down into the secret factory.
Yeah, oh, that...
Oh, no, I don't think that that's going to happen this round. I think that that's going to happen in one of the future rounds.
It's going to be Luffy versus Blackbeard's guy, and he's going to, like...
Oh, right, I keep forgetting that this isn't, like, the final fight of the tournament.
Yeah.
We're still in the group phase.
Yeah, we got to get Rebecca in there.
That's right, there's still another round, and then there's the Battle Royale.
There's still two more groups, right?
No, it's just Rebecca's.
Yeah,
that's right,
Rebecca
yeah.
and Cavendish.
Cavendish and Rebecca are in there, and Rebecca's probably...
So you find out which one of the two of them is going to win.
And of course, the person who's definitely going to win, fighting Lion.
Oh, man. What if Rebecca jumps on top of the Lion and rides it around like Luffy did the bull?
then we'll definitely know she's going to be a crewmate.
I love the dwarves. They're so dumb.
Yeah. So funny.
I like anybody who manages to be taken in by Usopp's lies. I think that that's kind of that's kind of the level of dumbness that makes them fun.
And they're so enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, they're just psyched about everything.
I do love how like overly designed they all are at the end.
Yeah. Oda is such a good artist. God.
At first I was wondering like, because that one way to the right kind of looks maybe like a Robin one. But then none of the other ones really line up.
Well, that
one kind of like Straw Hat Crew.
Yeah, like just a jokey like dwarf version of the Straw Hat Crew.
But yeah.
Alas.
Nope, not quite.
So I'm hoping next chapter we see, Zoro run into the paint lady and get turned into the like old Japanese samurai style thing, like we talked about.
Ukiyo-e.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him or Kinemon that would look really funny like that.
Yeah.
Can't remember. Yeah, Brook got turned into the Scream, didn't he?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. I could see Frankie getting turned into... what's that guy that drew all like the robot women?
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
The famous...
Neither.
It's pop art. You guys suck. There's the famous paintings. They got... Nah.
Nope.
I'm going to look
at... Yeah, I got nothing.
Famous paintings of robot women.
I don't know if you want to Google that.
Mona Lisa. Yep, that's what I meant to Google. Leonardo da Vinci. Yep. Nailed it. So yeah, like we said, no Jump next week, but we'll still have a podcast. Probably.
There will be something.
Barring Imran being missing and presumed dead again.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, there's the like 80s or something.
Well, no, like that they take famous, like there's a Marilyn Monroe one. Sorayama.
Sorayama, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There was that Venture Brothers episode about it.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, right.
I never made that connection.
Yeah, he made the robot women.
Okay.
That's funny.
Oh, wow, he drew some very naked women.
Oh.
Anyway.
Okay. Jump cast.
Yeah, that's a jump cast. Yes. I gotta edit. I only took one note. It says that 40 minutes we talked about Naruto.
Just let Imran.
And here's where Imran's gonna be like laughing at you so hard. Just he's like, got this down to a science now, and you're gonna have to stumble your way through it.
I was smart enough to make sure that like it kept recording the whole time.
Well, that's good anyway.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that oh wait no it wasn't. Now we've got to do it all over again.
If that happens, we're not doing it. Yeah, I quit. All right, this has been your Thursday/Friday 8/9. Jumpcast. Thank you guys for joining me.
Thank you.
We'll see you next
week.
It is
still Thursday in our time zone.
10:41 p.m. for the record. Good night, everybody.
I hate you, tickets.com.
Oh, by the way, Robin, the Zelda Symphony is going to be at Benaroya Hall.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's sold out.
Wait, there are two separate convenience fees?
Double the convenience.
One is for using tickets.com in general, and one is for using their website.